my life, one phrase that's probably got me into more risky situations than any other phrase of my life is, "You don't dare. You don't dare." I remember my brother would tell me that, "You don't dare. They just, you don't dare do that. You don't dare." And whether it was always something risky, and it was always something probably without a whole lot of sense to it, but it was, "You don't dare." And it got me from jumping from the top beam in the barn into a pile of hay that we had, loose hay that we had piled up on the barn floor. Now, anybody could jump. It didn't take, you didn't have to dare somebody to jump from the first beam. It's the second beam where you had to have, "You don't dare jump from the second beam." Now, granted, the second beam was probably 20 feet or more up in the air, so "You don't dare." And so when that proclamation would come, "You don't dare," you had to do it, or you felt like you needed to do it. I don't know why necessarily, but to prove yourself. And it always would take me into a risky situation, jumping a bike or reaching into a hole in a tree and to see if there was a squirrel in there. Those types of things, "You don't dare." And so you would reach in the hole, you would jump, or you would jump your bike, or you would do whatever was on the other end of that. "You don't dare." And it was always something that was, it was risky. And I want to challenge us this morning to dare to do something. But I want us to think about it first. I don't want to just do it because somebody's challenging us to do it. I want to dare us to do something this morning that would make sense. That's good, but it's going to take courage. See, if I'm going to dare to do something, it takes courage. And so you don't have the courage to do it. Okay, that's different to me than "You don't dare do it," because courage takes, it takes courage to navigate through some of the things that we have to face in life. Courage is defined like this: the ability to face danger, difficulty, and uncertainty without being overcome by fear or being deflected from a chosen course of action. And I want to dare us to do something this morning. I want us to live a life that is going to take courage to live. I don't want to just do something risky, something calculated, something well calculated that I think is going to make a huge difference in our life, but I think it's going to take courage to do it. Now, any knobhead can jump off the second beam, truly. But this is something I want us to think about, something I really want us to consider. Do we have the courage to do this? And before we answer that question, let me fill in the blanks. Let me talk about what I want us to have the courage or to dare to do this morning. And not only this morning, I want to unleash it this morning, but I want us to have a part of our life, a consistent part of our life. This is like the 12th or 14th week that I've been on this trailer. I really believe that God has unleashed some powerful things in our life. And just the Spirit and moving us and wanting us to do more for with Him, not for Him. I want to do it with God. That's different in my life than it used to be. I want to do something for God. And God said, "I don't want you to do anything for me. I want you to do it with me." Because if you start doing stuff for me, you're going to get ahead of me, or you get off to the right or to the left, and it's not, you're not doing it, but if you do it with me. And this morning, I want to talk about the courage that it takes to ask God to do some things in our life so that we can move with Him, so we can be navigating with God. But it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage to ask God to do these things in our life. Many people in the Bible, we see that people that have great courage, that created great feats in the Bible. David and Goliath, a man of courage to face Goliath in that time. We see Peter got out of the boat. We got out of the boat in the middle of a storm and he walked on the water. We see people with great courage in the Bible taking steps with God. God's not going to make it easy, but He gives us the courage to do what He's calling us to do. And it's going to take courage for us to make a proclamation or ask God to do this in our life. So do we dare to do that, or do we have the courage to do this? To ask God for these things in our life, or ask God to do this in my life. I want God to do something in my life, and it's going to take courage. So I'm going to have to receive courage to be able to even start to utter this thing, or it's just going to be words. And I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in just speaking words to God. I want to speak to God, and I want to be ready to receive from God, and I want to be able to walk it out with God. I don't want to just hear. I want to walk it out with God. I want to have courage to walk it out. So this takes courage to ask and then courage to live it out. So do we dare or do we have the courage to do what God, what the passage is going to lead us to do this morning? And 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is the passage, just two verses this morning. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and following, 9 and 10, we see this man named Jabez. And 20 years ago, a man wrote a book on the prayer of Jabez. On this man, he's just in a list of all these lines. This guy was in the line of this guy, and this guy was the father of this guy. All of a sudden, right in the middle of all that, we see that Jabez was set. More was said about him. He has one verse in the whole Bible that refers to him. This verse 9 and 10, two verses. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez was more honorable, and that word honorable is heavy with. Jabez was heavier than his brothers, heavy with. And we can unpack that, and we see that he's heavier with uprightness, and he's heavier with morals, and he's heavier with respect, and he's heavier with honor. He's heavier. His spirit weighs more, so to speak. He's more honorable than those people around him. He's more honorable than his brothers. He is heavy with uprightness. He is heavy with morals. He's heavy with respect. He's heavy with honorable, with honor. He has more responsibility, more dependability, more commitment, more trustworthy, more devoted than his brothers. He's truly a step above the people around him, seemingly in his soul and in his spirit. Jabez, verse 9, continued, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And I find it interesting here that Jabez, the word and the name Jabez, means to make sorrowful. How would you like that when your mother names you to make sorrowful? To make sorrowful, he says, Jabez must have had a tough life. His own mother named him to make sorrowful, named him pain. I've heard people name their children Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Elijah, and Abraham, and Ezekiel, and Isaac, and Joseph, and Paul. But I've never yet to hear anybody name their child Jabez. Even though Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, he was heavier with honor. He was heavier with respect. He was ever heavier with morals. But his name was pain. His name was sorrow. His mom named him that. In the ancient belief that the name represented the character and would create, no doubt would have created a negative stigma that followed Jabez around. People would have thought of him as causing a pain or being a pain or causing sorrow. They would have equated that with his name. But we're going to see that Jabez has the courage, or he dares not to live under that name or what people thought of him. He was going to step out of that. We already know that he was more honorable. He was heavier than his brothers in his soul and in his spirit in his walk with God. Even though he didn't have an easy life, it wasn't easy street. It wasn't something that was cozy. Even his own mom thought he was a pain. And people around him would have expected him to be a pain causer or a sorrow causer. Perhaps Jabez walked around in his life being constantly reminded about him causing pain for his own family. And I know we might not want to make more out of that than what there is, but his name is Jabez. His name is pain. His name is sorrow. But yet we see him take a step. We see him have courage to do something. And we know that names, we say sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not true. Some of us would believe, or we can recite something that somebody's called us just recently or years in the past. Those negative names, those negative things stick to us. And they kind of oppress us and they push us down. They push us to the ground, and we don't rise up, and we don't step up, and we can't be lifted up because we're living under this curse of this name or this somebody that has called you something, or somebody thinks you're stupid, or somebody thinks you're a failure. You failed in your life. You're stupid. You're worthless. You're a troublemaker. You're insignificant. You're little. And all of a sudden, we start to live under that curse or under that name, and we can't step out of that. Jabez was not locked under that curse or under that name or under that negative stigma in his life. He dared to step off and under that. He dared to rise up. He ask God for more in his life. So I don't know where we are this morning. I don't know where you are this morning. And I don't know what you believe about yourself. But don't let what you believe about yourself keep you from believing what God believes about you. And I've talked to many, many people, and so have a lot of you. And what life has dealt you has pushed you to the ground. And you don't know if you can make it, and you don't know if you can survive, and you don't know if you can get off and under it, and you don't know what you can do. I'm going to ask you this morning to dare to step out of that stigma, step out of that garbage, step out of that curse, step out of that lie. Step out of what somebody else is calling you. Step out of that. The first thing we need to do is have the courage. God, give me the courage to step off and under who I think I am or who this world has tried to tell me I am. I need to step off and under that. Because, God, I know I want to hear from you who I am. How many people do we know that are walking around messed up because something has been said to them throughout their life over and over and over and over, and now all of a sudden they're believing it? Words cause damage and wounds run deep. But Jabez had the courage not to listen to those things in his life, not to adopt those as a character trait in his own life. He was more honorable than his brothers. He dared to have the courage to seek a living God. Jabez, in verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Jabez cried out to the God, the living God. He cried out to God, and I would expect him to ask for healing in this moment, but apparently God had given him healing, and God had raised him up. He's going to ask for more. He's going to dare to do something here, and this is what I want to know. Do we dare to do what Jabez did? Do we dare to do what Jabez is going to ask God to do in his life? Do we dare to do that this morning? But Jabez dared not to listen and had courage not to listen. But Jabez cried out to God. He had the courage to seek a living God. What I like about this Jabez guy too is this, that he did not use his more honorable than his brothers to squash his brothers. He didn't use his honorable attitude and position in his soul to oppress someone else. But he used that life, he used that what God had given him to seek more of God. I got to get that through to us this morning. He used what God had given him in the past to seek more God in the future. And I want to use what God has given me in the past, right up to this very moment. I want to use that to seek God in the future. I don't want to just coast. God has given me this, or God has given me healing, or God has given me a clear mind, or God has given me peace, or God has given me finances, or God has given me whatever God has given me. I want to use that to seek more of God. Am I making sense this morning? I want to seek God with what God has given me. And that's what Jabez is doing. He is more honorable than his brother, but he didn't use his honorable position to lord it over his brothers. He used his honorable life, life that God had given him, to cause him to seek more of God. Ephesians 3:12 says this, in him and through in Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I'm asking this morning, will we seek a living God? Will we stop listening to our own flesh, or stop listening to the enemy, or stop listening to this world, and really do business with God, and really start to seek God, the living God? Jesus came to this earth not only to save us, but so we can have a relationship with the Father. And he did that so we can seek the living God, not just a God, the capital G God. You can seek the God, and Jabez knew that he could seek a living God. It didn't matter what was going on in his life. It didn't matter what other people thought of him. It didn't matter where he had been in life. It didn't matter how good or bad he was. He was going to seek a living God because he wanted more of God. He wanted more of God. So you've got to seek a living God. And I wonder this morning, do we dare take Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, that we can seek a living God through Christ, because through him and our faith in him, we can approach God, a living God. You can approach a living God. The God of all the universe, you and I can approach. And I want to use every ounce of what God has given me in the past and in this very moment so I can seek more of God. And that's what Jabez is doing. And Jabez is seeking a living God. And Jabez, in verse 10, continues, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." I love that. You know what that word blessed means? That word blessed means, God, I want your favor to fall on me. Asking for God's favor to be on me. I want your favor to be on me. I want you to bless me, God. And see, I think I've been trained in my life not to ask for a blessing for myself, because that shows that I'm self-centered. But there I see Jabez, who is more honorable, who is walking with God, who has not been squished down by the world. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth when he seeks a living God is he wants more from God. I want more from you, God. More, God. More, God. Bless me, God. Bless me, God. Bless me, God. I think that's the natural occurrence for being in the presence of God. That our spirits would want more of God. I want more of your favor, God. I want more of your blessing, God. I want more of you, God. I want more. I want more. And Jabez feels that presence, the very presence of God. And the only thing he can utter is, bless me, God. I want more of you, God. Let your favor shine upon me, God. Do we dare to ask to be blessed? Do you dare to be bold in the presence of the living God? Do you dare to be that bold? Do I dare? Do I have the courage to be that bold in the very presence of God? Not to let my mind think, well, that can't be God because I'm asking God's favor to fall on me. I should be asking God's favor to fall on my neighbor or my wife or somebody that's sick. I can't ask for God's favor to fall on me. I can't ask for God's blessing to fall on me. That wouldn't be right. I don't know if I deserve it. I don't know this and that and the where. But when we're in the very presence of God, I think that one of the first things we're going to notice is that God wants to give us more of him and more blessing. Psalm 90, verse 17 says this, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. You see what the psalmists are doing? The psalmist is saying, God, I want more of your favor. May your favor rest on us. Can you look at the man or the woman in the mirror each morning and say, God, I want you to bless me this morning. I want you to bless me this day. I thank you for where you've got me. I thank you for where you've brought me through. But I want more of you, God. I want your favor to fall on me, God. I want more of you, God. More of you, God. Will you bless me, God? Will you bless me with your favor? Will you bless me with the things I need in this world? Will you bless me? Psalm 18 says this, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. God, I want more oil. I want more oil, God. I want more anointing, God. Do you dare ask God for that? Do we dare even ask God for more anointing? Or do we have enough? Or do we think we have enough? Or do we think we don't deserve more anointing? We can't stop asking God for more anointing. More of him. More favor, God. I want more of that, God. God says, I'm going to give it to you. Watch out. I'm going to give it to you because you're going to need courage now. You're going to need courage. You had courage to ask for it. And now you need to get courage to live it out, because I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to pour it out on you. I'm going to pour out my favor on you. I'm going to pour out my blessing on you. But you're going to need it. You're going to need courage. You dare to ask. Do you dare to live it? I'm going to give it to you. When I was writing this message, when I was thinking about David on his way to kill Goliath, and for crying out loud, the guy didn't even have stones when he headed toward Goliath. And on his way, he picked up some stones out of the creek. I'm wondering, from where he left to where the stones were, I'm wondering what he's saying to God. God, bless me with some stones. God, I got a sling, but I'm empty. I need some stones, God. I'm going at this enemy. I'm going at this guy who is defying the honorability of the living God. God, you have inspired me. God, you have called me to do this. And I'm asking you to bless me with some stones. The Bible doesn't say what David said by the time he left Saul until the time he got in front of Goliath or right up to those stones. But I got to be thinking he's a shepherd. And he knows what the sling will do. And he knows that he's accurate with that sling. And also, I know when my clip on my gun is empty. And he knew his clip was empty. He knew his rocks were gone. And I wonder on the way there, God, bless me. God, will you bless me with some stone? Because I'm on my way. I got the courage. I'm going to do this, God. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives me strength. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. He gives more strength, more power, more stones, more favor, more anointing. Are you daring to ask for it? Or are we just going to coast? I got enough, God. I want more of God. And Jabez knew. He didn't use his honorableness. He didn't use his ability or what God had given him to lord it over his brothers. He used it to seek more of God. I want more God. What about the talent? What about the parable of the guy with the talents? And the king gave him 5 talents. He gave 2 talents. He gave 1 talent. He gave him more than other people around him. God, give me more. Bless me, God. But too often I want to be blessed financially or I want to be blessed in the physical world. See, I think I even have trouble saying that. God, would you give me more finances? And God said, I'll give them to you. What are you going to do with them? Well, I'm going to make my life a little easier. That's not why I'm going to give them to you. I'm not going to give you more finances so you can coast more. I'm going to give you more finances so you can have the courage to do what I've called you to do with those more finances. I'm going to call you. I'm going to give you some rocks when you need it. I'm going to give you an anointing. I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to bless you. Jabez says, God, bless me. God, bless me. I want more of you, God. Matthew 6:11 says this, give us our daily bread. You ever just ask God for the daily needs? Just say, God, bless me. God, bless me with what I need this day. God, I need a new pair of shoes. Would you bless me with a new pair of shoes? God, I need a new this. Would you bless me? God said, what are you going to do with them? He may interact with you in his very presence and ask us those things. But do we have the courage? I'm asking this morning, do we even have the courage to ask God for more? See, we're so programmed, New Lifers, we're so programmed. Don't get greedy. Don't be selfish. You don't deserve it. But yeah, here's a man in the Bible who uses honorableness to step into the very presence of God and ask God for more. And we're going to see at the end of chapter, verse 10, and God granted his request. Do we dare ask God for more? Let me move on because I got 3 more points. The blanks on your sermon outline this week are all me. The word me, I figured you needed 2 letters this week, not just 1 letter, like I. So I use the word me. Bless me, God. Do you dare? Do you dare? Do we have the courage to come into the very presence of a living God and stand in the very presence of the living God and ask God for more? And ask God to bless us. And ask God for that anointing and those stones and those finances and that favor. Verse 10 continues, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory!" Exclamation point. He is passionate about this request to God. God, I want you to bless me. And then, I want you to enlarge my territory. And as I processed that this past week and just processed that before in my life, I wonder what is he asking for there? Is he asking for a bigger lawn? Is he asking for a bigger field? Is he asking for a bigger farm? See, I think he's asking God to stretch him. Enlarge my territory. Stretch me, God. Stretch me. Bless me and stretch me. I am bound by my comfort. And I wrote that in my blotter and I wrote that in the notes. God, I am bound by my comfort. Stretch me, God. Break through the comfort zone. Break through it in my life. God, I am bound. You need to stretch me, God. You need to push me outside my comfort zone. He said, get ready. You have the courage to ask. I'm going to do it in your life. But you're going to need courage to live it out. Because you're so used to your comfort zone. You're so used to your simple life. You're so used to that. And I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to break you beyond the comfort zone. We are remaining safe in our territory or in our comfort zone. Do we dare ask God to enlarge my territory? Do we dare ask the living God to move me out of my comfort zone? Woo! God, move me out of my comfort zone. See, many of us would want a blessing from God, but we don't want it to move us out of our comfort zone. Because pretty much we got life figured out. And I know I get up at this time, and I know I do this, and I know I brush my teeth with my right hand. I brush my teeth with my right hand every morning. So just every once in a while, I'll brush my teeth with my left hand. It's a little dangerous. It's a little dangerous for my mouth to brush my teeth with my left hand. Because I get so used to doing my life, so used, I know at this time, 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 and then I eat, then I do this, and then I eat, then I go to bed, and then I wake up the next morning, and I do the same thing over and over and over and over. But do we dare ask God to break us, to stretch us, to break us out of our comfort zone? God, I'm tired of living in the comforts. I'm tired of living in this comfort zone. God, I don't want the world to break me out of my comfort zone. I want you to break me out of my comfort zone because the world don't care about me. You do. God, would you bless me with your favor? Will you anoint me? Will you give me the stones that I need? Will you give me the finances? Whatever you're asking God to bless you for, more of God, more of God, more of daily bread. And when we ask God to stretch us, verse 10 again, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me." I'm telling you what, Jabez is asking for four very powerful things in his life. And I'm asking us to commit today, to start asking. This is a 30-day challenge. I want us to ask every single day for 30 days and see what God does in the next month. When we start asking God to bless us, when we start asking God to stretch us. And may your hand be with me, Jabez says, let your hand be with me. Lead me, God. Lead me, God. Do I dare ask the living God to lead me? Not to join me where I'm at. Too often in my life, I'm over here and say, God, would you show up? And he said, what in the world are you doing over there? Elijah did the same thing. He ran because he was scared, and he ran and ran through the desert, and he hid in a cave. And when he interacted with God, the first thing God says to him, "What are you doing here? You took a detour. You didn't listen. You didn't let me lead you. I want to lead you in life. I don't want to be invited to join you somewhere. I'm not your bodyguard. And I'm not your puppet that you can run your hand up my back and do what you with me with what you want. I want to lead you, and I will lead you. Do you have the courage to ask me to lead you? Do you even dare, do I dare to ask God to do the leading in my life? Stretch me, God. Bless me, God. Stretch me, God. Lead me, God. You're not the co-pilot, you're the pilot. We're asking God to do the leading. Do we dare ask this living God to lead us? God, you tell me when and where to go. God, I'm tired of making my schedule. Some of us have more calendars than we got boxes of cereal in our cupboard. We got calendars and bought calendars, and God, you lead me, God. I'm going to go with you, God. I'm going to wake up every morning and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? God, I want you to lead me. God, you speak and I will listen. In the Old Testament, the word is Shema. And it's this combination of word is hear, do. Hear, do. You can't hear without doing. It's the Shema is if you hear it, you're doing it. If you're not doing it, you didn't hear it. It's like when your dad used to tell you, how many times do I have to tell you? Because you know why he says that? Because he thought that it made a vibration on your eardrums. But you weren't doing it yet. So therefore, you must have not heard me yet. And God says, the Shema, I will lead. I will speak and you do. And you will join me where I'm doing, what I'm doing. You won't invite me later on to join you. You and I will be walking side by side. I will bless you. You have the courage to ask for God to bless you. Do you have the courage to ask for God to stretch you? Do we have the courage to ask God to lead us? Him do the leading in our life. Verse 10 again. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain." The word keep me there is this protection and strength. God, protect me and strengthen me. It's another word. I just love the word keep in the Bible. Will you keep me? That means protect and strengthen me all at one time. Protect and strengthen. Protect and strengthen. Protect and strengthen. Will you protect me? Not just keep all the bad away from me. Because will you strengthen me? Will you protect me against some of that? And will you strengthen me? Because I'm not going to stop, God. I need you to keep me too. I'm going to receive a blessing from you, God. And you're going to stretch me, God. And you're going to lead me, God. But you need to keep me, God. You need to protect and strengthen me, God. You need to do that in my life, God. I'm asking for you to do that right now because I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop following your leading. And I know that your leading will take me into the valley of the shadows of death. I know the valley. I know that your leading will take me to the table prepared before me in the presence of my enemy. I know sometimes your leading will take me into the lion's den. Sometimes it'll take me before Goliath. God, I need you. I need your blessing. God, I need you. I need you to lead me, but I need you to keep me, God, because I don't want to stop walking with you. It gets scary sometimes, God, and I don't know if I can do it, God, and I need you to keep me, God. Would you keep me too? I know the path will not be easy, and I know there will be opposition. But God, I'm not going to stop. I need you to lead me. I need you to keep me. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do we dare ask a living God to keep us? Or really, do we just, let me ask this to myself as well, do I just want God to keep the bad stuff away from me? Because if I'm going to spend my time asking for God to keep the bad stuff away from me, keep the valley of the shadows away from me, when I get into a valley of shadow, I think I'm going to be away from God. That's where my thinking goes. But when God keeps me in those moments, when God strengthens me and protects me in those moments, and then I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I'm coming on the other side of this valley because you're leading me, God. Because you're stretching me, God. Because you're blessing me, God. I got the courage to ask. I need to get out of my mind that God doesn't want me to ask for this stuff in my life. Jabez cried out to the Lord, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. And God said yes. Do we dare ask a living God? Do we have the courage to ask a living God to bless me? Do I have the courage to ask a living God to bless me? Do I have the courage to ask a living God to stretch me? Do I have the courage to ask a living God to lead me? And do I have the courage, do I dare ask the living God to keep me? Or will I use what God has already given me just to coast, just to exist, just to make it to tomorrow? Yeah, God does weird things in my mind as I'm preaching up here. Just an inside information on Ed Jelliffe. Weird fact. You don't need to remember it. 6 years ago in January, I started eating Rice Krispies for breakfast. And I've eaten Rice Krispies every single morning for 6 years. I'm going to have stock in Rice Krispie Company. I've eaten so many boxes of Rice Krispies. And God was challenging me this morning. How about Honey Nut Cheerios tomorrow morning? Just because you've been doing it for 6.5 years doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow morning. So watch, I will post on Facebook tomorrow my bowl of cereal. And I'm almost guaranteeing you, I've got to deal with the conviction that it will not be Rice Krispies. And I want to go to the mirror and in the very presence of God. And I want to ask God to bless me, to stretch me, to lead me, and to keep me as I walk out my life with him and for him. Let me pray this morning. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that a man who was born in name pain in the Bible did not live under that dark cloud of his life, but walked with you. And at one point in his life, come to have the courage to ask for more of you, God. And so, God, I'm asking for that for us, that you would give us the courage to ask you. God, bless us, stretch us, lead us, keep us. Father, we sang this song, I need you. Oh, I need you. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for Jabez. Thank you for the men and women in this parking lot that as of this day are going to be the next Jabezes in this world. And we're going to watch you bless, stretch, lead, and keep. Father, we're going to go out of here now. We're going to start our cars. We're going to get back in. We're going to take up the stuff out here. We're going to carry it back inside. But we're the church. And the church is going to leave this property and go to other places today. So help us to live as the church. Help us to join you where you're working. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.